Now, Skink is not exactly the ideal companion for a young teenager off to rescue his cousin.
Well, not, you know,
in some ways he is.
Barely, but if you want someone who has a flexible view of the rules of society and who gets things done, he is. But no, he's not a role model.
Nope.
he says that in the novel. This story is told through the eyes and with the voice of a boy named Richard, whose cousin is the girl, the teenage girl who's run off with this guy that she met online, and they're trying to find her desperately before something bad happens. And so he ends up in a car with Skink going across the state of Florida looking and following clues. But, you know, because it's a novel for kids, Skink has to be edited. His language in particular can be a little salty. So because the voice is Richard's in the novel, he edits Skink, and he says he will tell you when he's editing Skink, because sometimes the guy uses bad language and he does things that, you know, aren't right. And so it's all seen through the eyes of this teenage boy who sort of presents it in a way that's acceptable to other readers. But Skink definitely needs an editor.
Isn't he just a little bit of an alter ego?
I mean, sometimes he does. I mean, I tell people this is true, that he says and does and gets away with things that I wish I could say and do and get away with. I mean, I'm still writing my column for the Miami Herald, so I have to behave. Although I get to write pretty much whatever I want, I can't do some of the things that, you know, if I see a litter bug throw something, you know, somebody throw out trash driving down the turnpike, my reaction cannot be the same reaction as Skink's, which is to follow him all the way home and empty a dumpster into his car. I mean, that I can't. I wish I could do that. All of us have wanted to do that, but he gets away with it, and I think that's what makes him so appealing.
Now, one of the things that I think is so interesting about your books, and I really see it in this one, is that you have such respect for your young characters. You give them some agency. You let them act out. But Skink isn't the only, you know, redeeming factor. They have a lot of power over their lives.
Oh, yeah, and these are smart kids, and I found that from my own experience. And, you know, it helps, Susan, to have a... You know, I've raised three boys, and my son and my first son and my stepson and now this, my youngest, and they were all smarter than I am. So being around kids really helps when you're writing these kinds of novels. You know, I hear how they talk. I hear how my youngest hangs when he's hanging with his buddies, and the wit and what they're laughing at and what's important to them. And so I think that helps a lot. But you also learn that these kids are going to be running the planet in a few years, and so you have to treat them with respect. They do care about things. I know from the mail I get the tremendous amount of affection and importance they attach to the environment. The basic, you know, why isn't our air clean? Why isn't our water drinkable? I mean, these are just basic things, and they were already dealing with these at a much younger age than I did. They're much more sophisticated about the politics of pollution than I was at that age, and my whole generation. And I think that gives me some hope. They're a lot sharper in many ways, not because we weren't smart, but because we didn't have the awareness of what was going on. And a lot of it's the internet, a lot of it's the way they're educated now. But kids are great characters. I mean, they're, for a novelist, it's just great fun to have smart teenagers on the page.
Oh, yeah. It's great to have them around in general, I think.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I want to ask you is, you and I are roughly contemporaries, and we've been through a lot of the same experiences. So how are you feeling these days about the kind of sliding, changing world of journalism, print journalism and e-books, and how things are going in that direction?
Yeah, you know, you don't want to sound like a dinosaur, but I do miss the, you know, when my time on the investigations team at the Miami Herald in a big city newsroom, there was nothing like it. It was the biggest adrenaline high you could ever have back in the 70s and 80s, because it was, you know, there was just great journalism was being done. And now the nature of things is that all newspapers have shrunk. The investigative staffs have been cut. Almost every aspect of the newspapers have been cut. And my concern with that is that you're always going to be able to find out online what's happening in Syria and Baghdad. But how are you going to know what's happening in your own town, at your own city commission meeting, at the zoning board hearing, if there are no reporters to cover those? Here in Florida, what that means is the crooks have gone wild. They know that most big civic issues are not being well covered now. Bloggers, in general, are not trained journalists, and most of them don't know how to get access to public records. The ability to have someone in a meeting with a notebook on their lap writing down how people are voting and why is very, very important to the process of democracy. Local news is vital to democracy, and by shrinking as much as they have by necessity, newspapers don't have the people to cover communities the way that they need to be covered. And that's my fear, is that the local journalism is going to suffer, and in the process that corruption is going to go wild, which of course it always is in Florida, but elsewhere as well.
Oh, Louisiana? Come on.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Louisiana, what? I don't need to say this to you. I mean, they put cash in the freezer up in your neck of the woods.
Exactly. So how are you feeling about e-books and all that these days? Are you finding a lot of people?
I know. It's the trend. And mm-hmm. you have to accept that the business model is not terrific for writers because the price of the e-book is less, so your royalties are going to be less. On the other hand, the readers of e-books tend to buy a lot more books. By that I mean if you have your backlist of older titles, which might be hard to find in a bookstore, they can't stock all, whatever, 15 or 20 of your books, but they can, with one click online, they can see everything you've ever written, and many times they'll buy multiple books. So what you're finding is that you're selling perhaps more books at a lower price. And the publishers, of course, and you know, aren't making quite as much money. But on the other hand, you're saving a lot of trees.
Yep, there is that.
So it's just something you deal with. I mean, anything that makes people read more is terrific. I like to read books. I'm old-fashioned. I just like to have the book in my hand. But I'm on airplanes all the time, and everybody's reading on their Kindle or their Nook, and they're reading, which is, you know, what more could you ask for? They're reading something. And maybe it's 50 Shades of Grey, or maybe it's Tolstoy, but they're reading.
My new approach is to take books and read them on planes and leave them for the next person.
Yeah, I do that too.
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, if I finish the book, I'll leave it in the hopes that someone else will pick it up. I do that too. That's funny.
Well, you can tell real book people always.
Yeah.